This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
Battlefield Expressions. This is retired Senior Chief Rob Burrows, United States Navy Seabees, two combat tours in Iraq, and I'm also the director for the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and several other programs that we're putting together, or we have put together for the Veterans Museum underneath our Heritage Center portion, and that is Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services, taking care of our post 9/11 veterans with emergency services and advocacy, and also of our Silver Star Widows and Veterans Program for our elderly veterans and widows to help them with advocacy and emergency services as the funding is brought in. And we apply for grants in our community. This one of those grants that we receive for both of these programs is from the Redding Rancheria Community Foundation, and we always want to say thank you to them for allowing us to be part of their program and applying for these grants, and for them believing in the organization that we have for us to be able to service and take care of those individuals in our community that have served our country, and for us to be able to help them with these emergency services and advocacy. And I'll explain one of the opportunities we're able to help a veteran right now is a post 9/11 veteran served in Iraq, and he is losing the use of both of his knees. And he is going to be wheelchair bound here very shortly, and we have been working with him getting the proper equipment, getting things taken care of. He doesn't have all of his funding coming in yet from the VA, and so because of that short stop gap, there's a great need. We'll be helping him put in a wheelchair ramp, a concrete wheelchair sidewalk ramp for his home. When he came back from the war in 2008, the company that he worked for did not give him the help or support underneath the Reinforcement Act for those who are called up to active duty from the reserve. He lost his home. He has a wife and two children, and so he's been struggling, and he's been hard charger trying to make it back on his own, and this is an opportunity for Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services for us to be able to step in and to help him with this program, to help him with some basic needs, help him through the holidays with some meals, to help them with this wheelchair ramp when trying to get him the electric wheelchair, and also some supportive equipment and things like that to help them along. You know, when these veterans come back after serving their country and they believe in what they do, they believe in the program, they believe in whether it's the United States Navy or any other branch, and then when they come back and the society that we come back to, the businesses or the citizens and community that don't honor our veterans, that don't take care of our veterans. He was down in the Vacaville area at that time, so that's the Outer Bay area kind of mentality. They would not give him his job back, and he couldn't get his payment back in to be able to get his home together, and so they lost their home down there and migrated up here in Northern California. And so these are the type of individuals in our community who serve our country faithfully. They go out there, put their lives on the line. And then when they come back and they try to interface back into the community does not accept them. They don't help them. They don't recognize the services that they do. And so that's why Homeward Bound is so important. He did not come to us. We kind of went to him. We found out through the grapevine that this individual was having issues. We found out about his services, where he served, and what took place. And then as we found out about his story, we were able to offer services to help him at his home. And so he'll be probably unable to do his job as a driver here very shortly, and because he can hardly get into the truck. His legs are hurting him so bad, he'll be wheelchair-bound. And so this is a great opportunity for us to step forward, to assist his family, to assist him in part of the healing process, and to help him as he moves forward so he's not stuck on the outside with all these extra bills and issues. during the time he's still trying to get his veterans service benefits. And he's been struggling with his benefits. He's in another county that's very close. They have not helped him. They've actually kind of driven him off. And so we're offering him advocacy to bring him here to Shasta County and get him to one of the veteran service officers there and to get him reestablished, because this is unacceptable for our men and women to go out and to serve our country, put their lives on the line. He served in the Baghdad area, well, almost the same time that I did there in Iraq. I understand what we went through, the IEDs and the mortar rounds and the bombings and everything that took place inside the wire and outside the wire. I mean, when they fire artillery rounds, and mortar rounds and RPG rounds, from the outside of the base into the base, you never know where those are going to land. We were in the chow hall there after coming in from a convoy in Baghdad. And while we were in there, they had fired a mortar round, 155, I think it was an 80-millimeter mortar round end from outside the ECP, which is the entry control point, and it landed right on the edge, right on the outskirt of the wall of the chow hall that night we were there. The ceiling tiles came down, the lights went out. We're all sitting there having our mid-wraps because we just brought a convoy in and we're getting ready to go back out. And so we all popped our flashlights out of our pockets. Everybody else was scrambling. It's like, you know, the bomb's over with now. We sat there and we finished eating our meals in the dark with our flashlights because we were hungry. We hadn't eaten. And so that's the kind of stuff that you're up against. And it's, you get to a point where, look, if you're going to die, you're going to die. If you don't, you don't. The bomb went off. We're still alive. Let's finish our dinner. And so and that's what we did. I had my 25 guys sitting there at this big table, and we had just loaded our plates so we could eat our late-night dinner and then get ready to head back out in another convoy. And we sat there, and we kind of chuckled about it a little bit, and everybody sat there and ate their dinner and continued on till we went back outside and got in our armored vehicles and moved forward for the next convoy through the rest of the night. And that's the type of things that you're up against, and it takes nerves of steel, but afterwards, let me tell you, when the reality of it comes back to you and you know, okay, it was only moments before we were going to lose our life or whatever, because if they probably had sent in a second round, they probably would have gotten us. But the way they were is they would fire one harassing round and then run, because they knew that if they didn't leave the area fast, that we would go out and we would take their lives. That's how the military was set up. That's how our armed forces were. They'd find out where it was fired from. They'd go to that area and they'd alleviate the threat. And so we just sat there and ate our dinner. And so sometimes that's how it is. You just have to face the enemy face to face and continue your dinner. Because you never know when you're going to get your next meal, especially when you're not running convoys. And so it was so imperative and so important. The other programs, once again, we're still doing Warm a Vet program. Warm a Vet is where we have ladies in our community who make scarves and also knitted hats, and we hand out those to senior veterans and veterans that are in need when we ship boxes overseas or we do care packages. During the holiday season, there's usually a hat in there for every family member, for that veteran who is that we're giving support to, and then also some of the other programs for Christmas for the Troops. And I wanted to let you know, our Christmas for the Troops program, we're getting ready to send out our second boxing event. Will be coming up here, and that's March 21st. So if you could get your items to the Veterans Museum offices there in Anderson before the 21st. We'll be boxing those items. We'll be shipping them overseas. We have a couple of addresses, and we know that we're shipping quite a few boxes to a chaplain there in Kuwait where all the military personnel come in and then are shipped out across Iraq and Afghanistan from that point. And so we had received a letter back from them stating, hey, they were so impressed and so grateful for everything that we had sent them. We're shipping them another 150 to 200 boxes at $20 a box. But we need you to drop off those non-perishable items. And the address is 2110 North Street in Anderson. That's 2110 North Street in Anderson. That's the museum offices. Or you can call 378-2280. That's 378-2280. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Pulse Urgent Care is happy to announce the reopening of our urgent care clinic. Our hours are Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Saturday 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., and closed on Sundays. To protect the patients and the staff, we will continue to follow the recommendations on social distancing and face coverings. If you have or had a fever, cough, or shortness of breath within the last 14 days, please call ahead at 530-722-1111 for screening. Check out our website and Facebook page for more information. PulseUrgentCareCenter.com, 100 East Cypress Avenue. If it's urgent for you, it's important to us.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Read, imagine, learn with Shasta Public Libraries. Summer Blast is live at the Shasta Public Libraries. Join in their free summer reading program for kids, tweens, teens, and adults. Going on all summer long. Help your kids avoid the summer slide and be a reading role model. Read to win prizes like books, gift cards, and a kids' kitchen playset and more. The more you read, the more chances to win. Let your imagination run wild. Read, imagine, learn with Shasta Public Libraries. Sign up online today at summerblast.fun.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference before, during, and after disasters such as hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, or wildfires. So when disaster strikes, you want to be prepared to protect them. Be sure to microchip or tag your pets. Never leave them behind in a major crisis, and be sure to have an emergency kit ready in your home at all times with a pet crate or carrier, leash, blanket, ID, and medications, their water bowl, and 7 to 10 days worth of food. To find out how to protect your entire family during a disaster and help our best friends in their worst times, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
In a quiet, dusty morning, when the moon has bowed its head, when the Blackhawks stop their singing, and the sky is clear red, when the desert sees its gleaming, when deployment's past its prime, when adventure's lost its meaning, I'll be homeward bound this time. Send me not on convoy missions, send me not on long drawn strolls. Send me free to find my calling, and I'll return to home with foes. If you find this time I'm missing, I hope it be you're searching for. This time it seems forever, until my eyes somehow reach home. It's a hope I'll see my family. In my heart that feeling burns. It's my thoughts that I hear listening. On the streets I'll stop and turn. It's that higher road to danger. That unexploded mind. Where the wind will set me running. As the journey burns my mind. Send me not on convoy missions. Force me not to shoot once more. Set me free to find my calling. And I'll return to home for sure. In the quiet dusty morning. When the moon has bowed its head. Then the Blackhawks stop their singing. And I'll be homeward bound.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. And the song that you're listening to is Homeward Bound. It was a poem that I wrote after I came back from Iraq, talking about doing convoys in the streets of Fallujah, the streets of Baghdad, all throughout the Al-Anbar province in Iraq. It was talking about when you first go out into the countryside, when you first get into country from the United States to Iraq, you're excited, you're full of energy, you don't know what to expect. And after you've been out there and you've done multiple missions and multiple convoys and multiple patrols, and you run 30-hour days and you're exhausted, there is no more shine to where you're at. There is no more exhilarating experiences. Now it's become survival mode. And every convoy you go out on, you know you're going to meet the enemy face-to-face somewhere. You're going to meet the enemy face-to-back, because when they hide those IEDs and those explosives out on the road and they're hiding out in the sand dunes with a pressure button ready to push that button and command debt, an IED upon your convoy or your vehicle as you're going by, the unexpectedness of the unexpectedness, if that makes sense to you, is what causes you to just fall apart on the inside, never knowing when it's going to happen. They would put IEDs in bomb holes along the edges of the roads, and then they would put secondary IEDs in there, so they'd dig a deep hole and put a bomb down the very bottom, and they'd fill it halfway full of gravel and put a secondary bomb up towards the surface, so that when EOD, Explosive Ordnance Disposal, came out and they found that bomb, they wouldn't check any further. And then when you hit that second bomb, boom, your vehicle's gone, and so was your life. And so we were constantly looking for secondary IEDs, looking for they would put an IED next to the road that was easy to find, and then another one hidden along the edge. You would find the easy one, but you wouldn't find the difficult one. And it was always the second one that would kill you. And so we had to do what was called a 5 and 25. And that's where you looked outside your vehicle to verify there was nothing. When you stepped outside your vehicle, then you went and you searched 5 feet around your vehicle to verify there was nothing immediately around your stepping. And then you did a 25-foot looking for a secondary ID that if you were out there and you hit a booby trap or a wire, or a pressure detonation. All of those things were things that we had to look for every time we got out of our vehicle, every single time. And on multiple occasions, we found primary IEDs, we found secondary IEDs, we found multiple IEDs in certain areas where they were daisy chained together, which means they were all linked together with fusible links and in deck cord. And when you hit one, it took out five or six vehicles and not just one. Just the enemy threat was just enormous. And it was always hidden. You always had to think outside the box. You always had to be looking for it. And so it was always just a very difficult time. And so whenever I play Homeward Bound, it's always important to talk about that. Why it was so important to talk about being on the convoys and on the patrols, and the wind that hits you in the face is the explosion of the blast, and you never forget it. You never forget the taste of the dirt and the taste of the coke from the explosion of the gunpowder. That flavor, that taste gets in your mouth, and you it doesn't go away. And every now and then, somewhere, there'll be an odor or a smell, and I'll get a taste of that, whether it's following a certain vehicle or a fire someplace, and it just takes me right back to Iraq, takes me right back to the IEDs. And so you have to deal with that. And part of this program is helping me deal with it, because I'm talking about it. And if I don't talk about it, it eats me up inside. But part of being able to work with the Veterans Museum and to these other programs and helping others helps keep my mind focused, helps keep me looking forward, because sometimes late at night when I close my eyes, it's tough. It's always tough. But we did our convoys at night. So, when it gets dark, in my head, I'm still preparing to go out on a convoy. And that's the tough part. Days are easy. The nights are long. They're still long. But you know what? We do what we do because we have to keep moving forward. We have to keep stressing forward. And it's not just about me in my situation in Iraq. But if I struggle with what I struggle with, imagine what the other veterans around us struggle with from World War II and from Korea and from Vietnam, from Desert Storm, from Iraq and Afghanistan. And we are the ones that made it back home. We are the witnesses of where we were. We're the witnesses of those who lost their lives, the witnesses of those who gave their all. And somebody has to come back and tell about it. Somebody has to come back and talk about the witness of what took place and what happened. Because if you don't hear it from the horse's mouth, you may not believe it to begin with. People read stories all the time and discard it. Well, that's not true. That's just somebody saying something. But let me tell you, when I talk to you about where I served in Iraq and what we faced on a day-to-day and night-to-night basis, it's the fact. I don't have to relish anything into it because there was so much reality. The reality is unbelievable by itself. And I would always just, if you don't believe it, I invite you to walk in my shoes. My shoes. 177 combat missions outside the wire in Iraq with a 25-man team. And we never lost a life. We never earned a Purple Heart. And those men were on top of it 24/7. So I would like to let you know that this program is brought to you by Keith Foster, the Foster's Brush Hog Service. Locally owned and insured, giving veterans and elderly discounts, specializing in fire compliance services, fire breaks, after storm cleanup, tractor services, free tree removal. That's not free. There's a cost. And also brush and grass removal. And so, boy, the season is right around the corner. If you haven't noticed, the grass along the roads and the highways, and I'm sure in your yard and along your driveways, is just outrageous. It's just growing and growing. And it pretty soon it's going to be overcome. And thank the good Lord we have rain this weekend. They said it was going to be a slight chance in Cottonwood. Boy, it rained hard all night last night. So we're grateful for that rain, and we hope we get more throughout this weekend. Brush Hog Service, Keith Foster, Brush Hog Service, 440-9531. 440-9531. Locally owned and operated in Anderson, California. They help out the museum all the time. They work with veterans. Great guy, great crew. And we sure appreciate what he does. He's honoring his father, who is a Korean War Navy veteran, through his services and with this advertising. Once again, Foster's Brush Hog Service, 440-9531. And they will do a good job for you. Trustworthy. We trust them and know that they're going to do a great job. And I just another item I'd like to just explain to you this morning. This morning at the Veterans Hall on Yuba Street here in Reading, the American Legion Family Shasta Post 197 is celebrating their 100th year anniversary with the American Legion. Centennial celebration. And that begins this afternoon at 12 o'clock from 12 to 4. Today is March 7th. It is today. They're going to have live music, raffles, displays, info booths, some great coffee. Lunch is $10. And the hardworking Legionnaires and Ladies Auxiliary are the ones that are putting that on for the American Legion Post 197. I'd like to invite you to be there. Today is raining. Go on over to the VFW or to the Veterans Hall on Yuba Street and have a good lunch. Meet some great folks, veterans who do great service in our community and who continue to make things happen. Once again, that starts at 12 o'clock till 4 p.m. at the Veterans Memorial Hall, 1605 Yuba Street, Reading. It's the regular Veterans Hall downtown next to the post office. And we're celebrating 100 years of service to the community, to the state, and to the nation. And Chief Dave Cockrell is I'm a member with the American Legion, and he is the man that's in charge of this, putting it on, along with Richard Raker and the other crew. And so a shout-out to them today as they put this together. And I'll be heading over there for an hour or two after the program to help celebrate with them and to honor those who went before us from World War I and on through today in 2020. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a dental discount savings plan annual membership. The dental discount savings plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expression, Sinkers Away, the Navy song. You know, as a Navy Seabee, you never really serve aboard a ship, so we were never really called sailors. Well, we were called dirt sailors. We were more Marines than we were sailors. Some say that we were smart Marines. The Marines have to go through Marine Corps boot camp. We went through Navy boot camp and still served with the Marines as Marines. But Seabees we are, can-do spirit, and that's what we move forward with every day, is that can-do building spirit to continue to make things happen. One thing that the Seabees are known for is taking the impossible and making it possible. And so that is my motto as we move forward with this Northern California Veterans Museum program. Many have said you can't do it. It won't happen. We've tried before, and that's not acceptable in my book. And as we move forward and we have the museum offices and we continue to move forward with the museum property and the project, there's some great things out there. And in the next week or two, we'll have some great information to be able to share as we move forward. And we'd like to invite you to come. The Northern California Veterans Museum would like to invite you to the 2020 Annual Banquet and Auction Fundraiser. That's coming up April 4th. It's a Saturday evening. It's at the Anderson Veterans Event Center, the VFW Center there. It is 3210 West Center Street, Anderson, California. The evening starts at 6 o'clock in the evening. Dinner starts at 7 and is from 6 till 10. And we would like you to come and be a part of this program. It's just going to be a beautiful, wonderful evening. I will be doing a presentation on where we're at with the museum in their 2020 and our strategic business plan as we move forward. In this next 10-year slot between 2020 and 2030, we have so many wonderful things that are actually happening, and we'll be sharing those with you. If you're interested in getting a ticket for the event, the tickets are $25 each. Or we'd like to invite you to get a table sponsorship. Table sponsorship is $500, and you get an $800 drawing ticket package. And we will have firearms. We'll have some precious metals there, some silver coins, all different kinds of wonderful items in our drawings, and also in $400 and $300 and $100 tables. There's going to be some beautiful collections there. A shout out to Goldmart here in Reading. The Bill over there constantly works with me, and for us to be able to get the items from Goldmart for our event. And we thank Goldmart for supporting our veterans and supporting this community project as we move forward. So many businesses in our community to help move forward to make this happen. And we just keep niching away at it, and we are making some great progress, and we'll let you know about that great progress at the dinner. Once again, it's April 4th, Saturday evening, 6 to 10, and tickets are $25 each for individuals, and or if you'd like to buy a table, $500 with the $800 drawing package. I mean, that's the best deal. A lot of times people who buy that package, they win some great items. Also, we'll have firearms there from Bastiani Arms and another great organization, a community gun store here in our community. And we always thank them for supporting our veterans in our community and for supporting the Northern California Veterans Museum, Bastiani Arms. And a great group of people over there. They will be at our event also. And always a great opportunity to do a shout-out. Coming up on the 14th and 15th, which is next weekend, is the home show, the Reading Home Show at the Convention Center. And there's going to be a fundraiser, barbecue fundraiser there. And part of the money coming from that barbecue fundraiser would be going to the museum. And so we'd like to invite you next weekend. You get a chance to go out to the home show, grab some barbecue out there, and as we sell those tickets from the Northern California Veterans Museum, a portion of those, that money comes right back to the museum. And it's a great way for us to be able to shake hands with you, share our project with you, share you with you our goals about what we're doing and how we're making a difference in our Northern California community, and then also to be able to have some great food. So be able to show up and be hungry, have some great food, help support the museum and the project. And we just thank everybody who helps with our program to make that work. It's it is not a one-man team. It is a group of individuals who serve diligently to help make this project work. Businesses in our community who donate and share and are a part. Many are behind the scenes. Many help that don't want to be recognized. They just want to be part of a positive program in our community. And that's what we encourage, and that's what we thank them for as we move forward. I'd like to read you an article here real quick as we have the opportunity. If you weren't aware of it, President Trump signed the POW/MIA Flag Act into law. And this is part of the VFW and the American Legions. VFW officials were present at the White House during the Oval Office signing of the National POW/MIA Flag Act by President Donald Trump. The new law, PL-116-67, requires that the POW/MIA flags be displayed below the U.S. flag at federal sites around the country. That's everywhere, ladies and gentlemen. These locations include the White House, Capitol Building, World War II Memorial, Korean War Veterans Memorial, Vietnam Veterans Memorial, National Cemeteries, State Secretary Offices, Defense Secretary Offices, VA Secretary Offices, Selective Service System, Director's Office, Military Installations, that's all military installations, VA Medical Centers, and Post Offices. Now, if you haven't seen the MIA POW flag underneath your post office, I suggest you remind them at the counter that they need to get a POW/MIA flag on their flagpole underneath the American flag, because it's been put into law, and they shouldn't wait till somebody says you have to do it. They should be proactive to get that MIA POW flag on that flagpole to honor our veterans and those who did not make it home, the sacrifices that they made. And it seems to me some people are dragging their feet, and they need to be encouraged to not drag their feet. VFW Commander-in-Chief William Doc Schmidt said the law will serve as a daily reminder of service members still missing in action. This is a historic victory for every man and woman who courageously defended our nation and remains unaccounted for. In March of 2019, Representative Jack Bergman of Michigan, who is retired Marine Corps Lieutenant General, and Representative Chris Pappas introduced a National POW Flag Act in the White House. The VFW supported this new law from the very beginning, said VFW Washington, D.C. Executive Director Lawrence who attended Trump's bill signing. We continue to stand firm, our relationship with and dedication to both the National League of POW/MIA Families and the Defense POW/MIA Accounting Agency. Those are the ones that are looking for those who are missing. Prior to the law enactment, the POW flag was only required to be displayed by the federal government on certain prominent federal properties 6 days a year. Armed Forces Day, Memorial Day, Flag Day, Independence Day, National POW/MIA Recognition Day, and Veterans Day. This new law is a huge step in the right direction for our veterans. Our nation's leaders made a pledge to account for every service member who did not come home, said Lawrence, an Army veteran. This is a pledge which also holds true for today's servicemen and women. We must always ensure that if they do fall in battle, they are not forgotten. Our nation will do everything in its power to bring home every veteran lost. The Northern California Veterans Museum flies the POW flag underneath the American flag every day. We have that flag lit at night because I don't think it's right to bring it down when it should fly 24/7. We are a nation under God that represents our military personnel who serve this country, and I believe that that flag should fly 24/7. It should be lit and it should be ready to go. And we have that MIA POW flag up there for those who are fallen, those who did not make it back home, and how important it is. It's imperative for us to be proactive and to continue to make these things move forward. Because if we don't do it, who will? Another information I'd like to give to you that I think is really important is the Blue Water Veterans File VA claim. If you're a Vietnam veteran, you served in the United States Navy outside the shores of Vietnam, this applies to you. It applies to anybody who was on a surface ship or worked in the United States Navy or even the United States Army in their ships. If you're a Vietnam veteran, you need to take this information. You need to share it with your other Vietnam veterans. At the beginning of the year, the Blue Water Navy Vietnam Veterans Act of 2019 went into effect. The law restores VA benefits to Vietnam War Blue Water sailors, those who served aboard ships off the coast of Vietnam, who had their disability eligibility arbitrarily taken away by the VA in 2002. If they took it away, listen up, you're coming back again, and you need to apply. Those veterans also could be eligible for the retroactive benefits. The Blue Water Navy Veterans Act of 2019 also requires the VA to contact veterans who filed a disability claim that originally was denied. Don't wait for them to call you. If you've put in a claim for your services, you need to be proactive and you need to go down to the Veterans Service Office and you need to get that information reestablished because you earned this, you deserve it, and you need to be consistently in there. I know it's a pain in the rear, but you've got to stay in there. You've got to continue to work with the Veterans Service Office because literally the squeaky wheel gets the grease. This long overdue legislation has the potential to truly change lives. National Veterans Service Director Ryan Gallucci said, they encourage veterans who served in or off the coast of Vietnam or Thailand to contact the service officers at the Veterans Service in order for them to find out the eligibility of the claim. In the Veterans Service Office here in Shasta County, you cannot make an appointment. It doesn't do any good to call. They open at 8:30 Monday through Friday, and you need to go in there. Take some reading material with you because you could be there for 20 minutes or you could be there for an hour and 20 minutes. It's a first come, first serve. And so you need to go in there and you need to be established. And ladies, if you're a widow of a Vietnam veteran who served in the combat zone or served during that time frame, you need to go in there and you need to find out what your eligibility is for your widow status, for widow's eligibility. And so if you need more information on that, you can go ahead and call the museum at 378-2280. I will get back to you on that information concerning widows' benefits. That's what Silver Star Widows is about, to help advocacy and get you that information. I was down there with a widow this week, and we spent 2 hours there at the Veterans Service Office going through the paperwork and with advocacy and making sure that her information from her husband was established and they had a registered file for her so she could move forward with the possibility of benefits for herself. It's imperative if your husband earned it, if you as a woman earned it, it's imperative for you to keep going. 14 presumptive conditions to the Blue Water Veterans Claim. To qualify for Agent Orange related benefits a veteran must have one or more of 14 conditions the Veterans Administration presumes to have been caused by exposure to the defoliant, which are chronic B-cell leukemia, Hodgkin's disease, multiple myeloma, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, prostate cancer, respiratory cancers, soft tissue sarcomas, amyloidosis, Clorence, diabetes mellitus type 2, ischemic heart disease, Parkinson's disease, early onset peripheral neuropathy, porphyria cutanea tarda. All of these are different items that are related to Agent Orange and exposure to Agent Orange. You don't have to have been in country. You could have been in on the United States Navy drinking that the water that came out of the ocean. They used reverse osmosis ROPO units to take the salt water out of those and to drink that water, but the chemicals never came out. If you'd like more information, call the Veterans Museum at 378-2280. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Enjoy delicious Black Bear Diner food in the comfort of your own cave. Try one of our nine new family meals to go, like the breakfast combo family meal loaded with eggs, thick-cut bacon, sausage links, and four huge house-baked biscuits. Or the chicken fried steak family meal for four with country gravy, cornbread muffins, and two large family sides. Starting at $19.99, our family meals to go feed three to four, so try all nine. Order carry out or delivery at
Black Bear Diner.
Orchard Nutrition Center has exclusive special offers now through the 4th of July. We carry organic, non-GMO, and clean, healthy products, and we're working to keep our communities safe. We offer contactless shopping, social distancing, and we're sanitizing. Our staff, which includes certified nutritionists, take pride in helping you make informed product choices. We look forward to continuing to serve your family for many more years to come. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
Thank you. places that this heart and mind embraces all day through. In that small cafe, the park across the way, the children's carousel, the chestnut trees, the wishing well. I'll be seeing you in every lovely summer's day, in everything that's light and gay. I'll always think of you that way. I'll find you in the morning sun, and when the night is new, I'll be looking at the moon, but I'll be seeing you.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and that is just some great World War II music for our guests that we're going to be having here in just a minute. And you're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio program, and this is Battlefield Expressions. I'm Rob Burrows. I'm your host for this morning for Battlefield Expressions. And normally when you think about the United States Navy, you think about battleships and aircraft carriers and submarines and sailors in dress white or navy blue uniforms. And that was usually true. But during World War II, most shore installations and duties and jobs and positions were filled by women. They filled the shores for men who worked every job in the Navy so that the men could be sent off to war. They could be sent to the sea. They could be sent overseas to fight. And these ladies stepped up, and they took over an enormous job that the nation is very grateful for, but not very talked about anymore. Our opportunity this morning is to talk about that. On July 30th, 1942, the Waves became a World War II division of the United States Navy and consisted entirely of women. The name for the acronym for Women Accepted for Volunteer Emergency Services was WAVES. The word emergency implied that acceptance of women was due to the unusual circumstances of World War II. And at the end of the war, the women would not be allowed to continue in the United States Navy careers. After the war, their official name was the U.S. Navy Reserves, or Women's Reserve. But the nickname of the WAVES stuck, and they were continued to be called Navy WAVES right up until 1979, when the Navy made an official change and said they were no longer considered to be WAVES. My guest this morning is Polly Yont. I don't know why I said Paula. Polly Yont Schmidt. And Polly was a WAVE. Actually, you still are a WAVE because you just keep going and going and going, and I can give you the credit for that. A United States Navy WAVE from 1952 to 1953. Good morning, Polly.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Polly has been a vital part of the Northern California Veterans Museum since the very beginning in 2008. When I first had the opportunity to meet her and for her to share her experience with me, and she used to call me Chief, and I was always, whenever anybody from another era or service calls me by my Navy rank Chief or Senior Chief, I was always very grateful and respected that. And you have been a supporter. You have been an encourager. You have worked with us on multiple projects. We've worked with you with the ladies with Sir Optimist here in our community. You have helped me when we put together the different displays for the Navy. And, hey, you need to change this. You need to adjust that. You need to do this, which is fantastic because that's what I need. I need that prodding and that experience for somebody who was there and wore that uniform regress inspection and knew how it was supposed to be worn. And so, Polly, this morning we'd like to talk about your life. We'd like to talk about your service and why you went in the Navy and how important it was when you served in that time frame, and then a little bit about your life here in our community afterwards, because you were a heroine in our community here also, and you do so many things behind the scenes, and it's so important for others to know about some of the great things that you've accomplished in your life.
Boy, I'm amazed. I didn't know I did all that.
Well, you did that for me.
I love to keep busy. I love to be involved with people, but I don't like to keep busy just keeping busy. I want it to be
purposeful.
Purposeful.
Yes, and you're
rewarding.
You're a very purposeful person.
Yeah. Thank you. I am.
Well, tell us a little bit about your childhood during World War II, how that influenced you. I know that you had family members that served during that time frame.
Right. I had uncles that were in the service on both sides of the family. I remember the first time I ever saw my mother cry was when Pearl Harbor was bombed, and I was amazed, you know, what is this about? And, of course, we learned, and we collected scrap, and we collected lard from all the neighborhood. We got, my twin brother and I had a little wagon and went around and collected in coffee cans. And, you know, we did what we could. And my aunt started us on our savings bonds and so on. So it's just something, and the big Memorial Day marches and everything, we were always involved.
You know, when you think about the scrap, you think about today the things we just toss away without a second thought. But then you think about what was saved and scrapped during World War II in the 1930s, 1940s. I mean, you think about the fat from cooking, which is lard, the bacon grease. They use that for munitions. They use that as part of – but other people don't know that. And that's what I mean is that there weren't numerous resources. There weren't just – you could just go to any store and buy anything you wanted. Do you remember as a child during that time frame when you had to ration?
Yes, we had the ration books. Well, there were six children in the family. My twin brother and I are the youngest. And there were so many ration books per each person in the family. And that's all you had to use. And if you had used up something, you didn't get any more of that particular product. And, of course, my mother always had a garden. And she had a garden before Victory Gardens were even thought of.
Right. Well, that was a necessity, especially through the Depression.
That's right. And she had been born and raised on a farm, so she put a fantastic garden together, and that's what brought the family through the Depression. I have one sister, the oldest of the family, that swore once the hard times were over, she'd never eat oatmeal again. Because you got commodities, and that was the main item that they gave everybody was big bags of oatmeal.
Right. Well, and because everything else went to the war effort.
That's right.
Everything else went to the war effort. When people don't understand, when you get a ration book, there was tires in that ration book.
Yes.
It didn't matter if your tires were bald or they were blown out. You didn't get a new tire unless it was a stamp in your book. If you used it up and you blew a tire, you had to find another way to get a tire because that's all there was to it. People nowadays just do not understand. We have so many resources at our fingertips. You go to Walmart, you can get anything you want. But at that time, there were no Walmarts. There were no grocery stores. It was your local grocer. And it was the local farms and the people who brought in the fruit and the different things like that and the vegetables. And if it wasn't there, you didn't eat it. If you didn't grow your own, you didn't have it. If you add too much sugar or too much butter, actually it wasn't butter, it was oleo at that time.
Oh, yes.
Oleo was white, and you added a yellow food coloring to it.
I remember that.
A butter look to it.
Yeah, because we had cows, and of course we had our own milk, but there's times when you aren't milking the cows and you had to rely on oleo. And that was a big game, spreading that yellow little button around. And it didn't taste very good, but that's what we had.
But with you, with your cow, you were able to churn your own butter.
Oh, yes.
So then you had the real good stuff.
That's right.
That's right. So there's so many people today that just have no skills of living out on their own in the country or whatever else because they just show up at the store, they buy what they have, they have no idea how the cottage cheese was made, they had no idea how the butter got in that little package or any of those other items. And so we're going to get ready to go to a break here in just a minute. But I always, as we do the studying and everything else for the World War II, to go back and to look at all these items, especially to teach the younger kids about what a ration book is. It just it blows their mind. They have no clue.
I can imagine.
You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour at townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. German Chancellor Angela Merkel is cautioning that the coronavirus pandemic is far from over in her country, thanks to some regional outbreaks. In Australia, the Deputy Chief of Health for Victoria State, Annalise Van Diemen, says she's concerned after 41 new cases.
Obviously, we are quite concerned, and that is why we have ramped up these efforts to really, really find every possible case that we can find in these areas where the majority of these cases are coming.
Two U.S. states, Florida and Texas, have reversed course on their reopening plans, reinstating some new coronavirus precautions amid a host of new cases as well. Facebook says it will begin taking action against political posts that break its rules. Here's correspondent Mike Grazia.
In the face of a growing campaign to stop advertising on its platforms in order to spur action against hate speech and violent content, Facebook has announced it will begin flagging posts from politicians that break its rules.
Meanwhile, companies like Twitter and Facebook were granted special liability protection under what's known as Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act because they're treated as platforms, not publishers, which can face lawsuits over the content that appear on their sites. The former Trump advisor and Salem radio talk show host Dr. Sebastian Gorka says this flagging is now equivalent to editorializing.
When these platforms were regulated originally by Congress, they were given immunity and they were deemed to be social interaction platforms. That no longer is the case. They should lose all immunity, they should be stripped of that, and they should be treated like any other publishing platform.
Last month, President Trump signed an executive order which directs executive branch agencies to ask independent rulemaking agencies, including the Federal Communications Commission and the Federal Trade Commission, to study now whether or not they can place new regulations on the companies because of their editorial content. More from townhall.com.
Drowning in IRS debt? If you can't afford to pay your IRS debt due to economic hardship, you can now be free of IRS collection efforts by taking advantage of a special IRS tax hardship program. This program allows Americans who owe the IRS to resolve their delinquent tax debt once and for all. In some cases, maybe even reducing what you owe significantly. An open phone line has been established by Community Tax for consumers to call and see if they qualify. Simply dial 800-514-1026 if you owe back taxes to the IRS and cannot afford to pay them back or have years of unfiled tax returns. Help is standing by. Just call the Community Tax Helpline today at 800-514-1026 for the help that you need. Don't take on the IRS alone. They can attack your wages, savings, pension, home, and even your Social Security check. Call 800-514-1026 to see if you qualify. That's 800-514-1026.
The Minneapolis City Council has unanimously advanced a plan that could one day do away with the city's police department altogether. The council voting on Friday in favor of amending the city charter to replace the current department with what it calls the Department of Community Safety and Violence Prevention. City Council Member Steve Fletcher.
It's a way of reducing the barriers that have prevented previous councils and previous mayors and previous community efforts from succeeding.
The plan has its critics, including Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey. He says it's unclear whether the measure calls for abolishing the police department or just making some changes.
Is this about reductions in staff, or is this a wholesale elimination of police response to violent crime? I still can't answer that question.
As written, the plan says it would prioritize what it calls a holistic and public health-oriented approach. Breaking news at townhall.com. It happens to the best of us, but not normally in outer space. A spacewalking astronaut now adding to the millions of pieces of junk orbiting planet Earth. Chris Cassidy lost a small mirror yesterday as he stepped out of the International Space Station.
Cassidy says it floated away at about a foot per second. Mission Control says it somehow became detached from Cassidy's spacesuit and poses no risk to the space station. Spacewalking astronauts wear a wrist mirror on each sleeve to get a better view while working. The mirror is just 5 by 3 inches and together with its band has a mass of barely 1/10 of a pound. Rich Thomason reporting.
Maryland plans to honor victims of a newsroom massacre. The state is set to award $300,000 next week for the construction of a memorial honoring the victims of a 2018 shooting at a newspaper office in Annapolis. It killed five employees of the Capital Gazette. More on these stories from townhall.com.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. I'm your host, Rob Burrows, retired United States Navy Senior Chief. Senior Chief, United States Navy Seabees. And you're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio program. And our guest this morning is Polly Yont Smith. I will spit it out eventually.
You got
and get it going here. And she was a wave during the Korean War era. And if you weren't aware of it, the Navy waves were the women accepted for volunteer emergency services. And then if you were in the Army Air Corps, it was the WASPs, and the women were the Women's Army Air Service Pilots. And if you were in the Coast Guard, it was the SPARs, and that was the Coast Guard Women's Reserve. And the SPAR represented Semper Paratus, which is always ready, SPAR. And so those were the three main groups of ladies that served during our World War II era for our military personnel. While the men were overseas fighting, the women stepped up and took over, and they helped to fill all of those stop gaps, all those jobs, and all those positions. And so our guest again this morning, Polly, you were a wave during that time frame. You grew up during the World War II. What were some of the reasons that you wanted to go into the military as a wave?
Well, some of the reasons was because of the Korean conflict, as they called it. My brother was aboard an aircraft carrier at that time. My older sister was in the waves down in San Diego as a storekeeper. I had started college, but financially it was a hardship for my family. So I thought I could go into the waves, I can learn new things, and then I can have the GI Bill to go to college when I get out.
Well, that was wonderful. What was your rate during that time frame? What did you do in the Navy?
I was a personnelman. I kept records on all of the students at the electronic school at Great Lakes, Illinois, and all of the staff, the teaching personnel, you know, when new baby was born, et cetera, et cetera. I'd had no experience doing anything like this before, but I had to learn, so I learned to type. I learned to work with a mimeograph machine, and that was a nightmare, but you didn't have computers, and you didn't have copy machines in those days, and you had really funky-looking long carriage typewriters, and it was a whole different experience for me.
And if you're not familiar with what a mimeograph machine is, it's a round circular drum where you put a copy an initial type of copy.
Yeah, it's a film like.
And then you turn circles with it, and as it goes around in a circle, it spits the ink out onto the paper, and the paper comes out the side, and it smells like fresh lumber because the paper is all kind of damp, and as everything dries on. I mean, I can remember them as a kid using those before there were copy machines. And
right.
And we still use those in the Navy. We still used, when I was in the Navy in 89, when I first went in, we were still using typewriters, Remington Selectrics. We didn't get into the computer age until the late 90s when we first got our first computers in the Navy.
Yeah. Well, the typewriters I worked with were not electric. They hadn't happened yet.
Right. And that's what I learned as a kid. My mother served with the United States Navy during World War II, mm-hmm. and I learned on her typewriter that she used with the eraser and hammering, you know, everything. Uh-huh. There was no whiteout. You had to erase it off of there. And pretty soon, if you made enough mistakes, there was a hole in the paper, and you had to start all over again with everything.
I remember.
Yes, so do I. And so I'd like to go back to when some of your first memories of when you went into boot camp, where that was at, and some of your boot camp experiences for the ladies.
I went into boot camp at Bainbridge, Maryland. It had been a camp that had been closed, but when the Korean conflict started, they reopened it. And I was raised in Western New York State, so I went into boot camp in that area. It was
on the Chesapeake Bay. Not bad. I never knew people from so many different areas before because I was raised in a very small farming town.
Sure.
New experience. But you learn to get along and do the best you could and help each other out.
How old were you?
I was 18. I had just turned 18.
Right out of high school?
Yes.
18 years old.
Yeah, I graduated when I was 17. And went in, well, my birthday was on the 25th of February, and I went in on the March 3rd.
Wow. So when you were in the melting pot with all the girls from all the different places across the United States, because they come from everywhere.
Yes, they do.
And so that I'm sure that was a real experience when you're getting your coming together, getting all of your uniforms, and you're learning to march, and you're learning to work together. Some did, some didn't, but everybody originally fell in line. How was that?
Well, some did, as you said, and some were very successful, and those are the ones you wanted to emulate and follow along. Some didn't, and did not stay in the service even.
They just kind of washed out.
How it was.
Right. Well, then that's how it still is today. I mean, yes. You either fall in line or you get out of line, and you're out of here. So when you were getting ready to go to your A school, which is your initial training, where was your A school at?
It was right there at Bainbridge. I stayed right there at Bainbridge. And then after I finished the A school, I was transferred to Great Lakes Training Center, just north Chicago. And that's still one of the biggest training centers in the United States, at least.
It's the only training center for the United States Navy now.
Is it really?
There's no more San Diego and there's no more Florida.
Well, that's too bad.
Well, I'm sure there was maybe a lot of politics involved in that.
Yeah. And that's where I worked at the electronic school. And it was a huge school, and it had the A students, the A class, which was a 10-month school. And then they had the Bs and the Cs, which included sonar and radar. And those were all new and exciting things.
Everything was brand new at that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same.
So I always it made me wonder. They took away both of the Navy schools that were in warm climates.
That's right.
And they put them in sub-zero climates. Horrible. Because the Great Lakes has that freezing sub-zero weather coming right off the lakes.
Oh, it
freezes the waves on the shorelines.
That's right.
And it just was always amazing. And they still go out and they run in that in some of those freezing temperatures with the Navy. And so it's just amazing that they did that. Tell us some of the stories when you were there doing your service as a PN or a personnelman, working with the different groups of individuals that came through. And how were you treated as a woman in the military at that time? I want a little information about I know that the women had been in there since 1942. A lot of those early women took a lot of knocks on the chin because the men that were still there didn't want them around. They were starting to do things that we've never done before in our society. You know, wear pants and do men's jobs and all these different things. You were part of a changing in our society that never went away. It just had developed to women being more and more and more involved throughout the years. And that's one of the reasons why you're so involved today is because of those early skills you learned and your capability to be out in public and talk to people and to be aggressive because to be successful as a woman, sometimes you have to be aggressive. I understand that. But you are a person that is not just aggressive, but I wouldn't call you a politician. I would say that you know how to work with people on multiple levels without insulting them, but getting the job done. And I know that you learned that early in your career.
Yes, the younger students that came to the A school, they were just out of boot camp, and this was their first time, and they had been taught, you know, to be respectful. And then for the sonar and the radar schools, a lot of those were coming back from ships to learn these new trades. And there were problems sometimes. When I first went in the Navy, one thing I was told was that act like a lady and you can expect to be treated like a lady. And I thought, well, that's the same thing my mother used to tell me, so.
Right.
This is old stuff, you know.
Your mom was right on from the very beginning.
That's the exact way. I mean, you had to be very careful about the language you used. Don't be argumentative. You could disagree, but, you know, keep it under control. And I never had any serious problems with anybody. in that respect.
Well, we're going to take a break right now. When we come back into our next segment, we are able to find the Navy Wave song. And so we'll go ahead with our normal bumper, but then we're going to play that song because you asked us to find it, and we did, so we'll play that song.
How fun.
You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more. No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need on-time, first-rate medical attention. Shasta Regional Medical Center, located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading, has the fastest possible transit and admission of emergency patients. We at Shasta Medical Center are dedicated to all patients who need care, regardless of their ability to pay. Shasta Regional Medical Center, delivering patient-centered health care with compassion, dignity, and respect for every patient and their family.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Head down to Wind River Resort and Casino and see what we have to offer. Because your health and safety matter to us, we have refined our Elements and Creekside dining space and menus with you in mind to enjoy a comfortable experience. Elements is offering Sunday brunch off the menu, all you can eat. Let us do the preparing, plating, and serving. Same deliciousness, different delivery. Creekside is a fast, friendly, casual pub and grill with a tempting selection of food and beverages. We guarantee you will be amazed. Visit WindRiver.com.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
Morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and you're listening to some of these wonderful World War II songs, and we're playing these songs in honor of our guest, Polly Jock Schmidt, who is a United States Navy Wave. I'll get it out there sooner or later. And it's just a privilege to know you, Polly, and to be able to have you as our guest this morning and talk about your service to our nation during the Korean War time frame. And we found your Navy Wave song that you were talking about, if we could find it. And what we'll do is we'll play it here in a few minutes, and then I want you to tell us a little bit about the words, because sometimes the words are hard to hear. But I want you to – you carry with you a camaraderie and a proudness of the service that you have for our country, just like many of our veterans do. And you're very eloquent about that. And that's one of the things that draws me to you. I love your eloquence about these things and working with you. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to play this Navy song or the Navy Wave song, and then we'll chime right back in again.
Okay. Fantastic.
The Navy Wave song, just
yes,
for you.
Is.
We looked that up and found that for you.
I appreciate that so much.
Well, you had said you hadn't heard it for a long time.
Yeah, that's
so,
right.
You know, it's one way of us being able to honor you and all the ladies who served United States Navy Waves and all the other ladies who served in all the other organizations, the WASPs and also the SPARs. And so we don't hear enough about the legacy of the women who served our nation during that time frame. And that's one of the reasons that I felt that it was so important for you to be here, for us to be able to talk about your service. So you're talking about your husband, who was in the Navy also, and a little bit about that's one of the reasons what we also played the song about the apple blossoms also.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about – you're married twice with two Navy husbands and some of their service and how that went also.
Well, the first husband did come to the electronic school, but he was off of a ship. A little hard to get along with at first, but we got to know each other and married within a year. And left Great Lakes in order to go with him to Newport, Rhode Island. I could not be transferred. They didn't do that in those days. But since I had been on active duty for the amount of time I had, I did get
a furlough?
Yeah, no. They just...
Just a transfer?
They told me goodbye.
Oh, well, I mean a discharge.
That's what I got, yeah. And so that's when I left the Navy and went with him to Newport, Rhode Island.
All right.
And then I moved back with my mother and sister in New York State because he was stationed aboard ship up in the North Atlantic, and that's where my first daughter was born.
Well, that was probably pretty tough for you to leave the Navy at that point. I mean,
it's tough.
It was you were a single woman. You had fallen into a career, mm-hmm. and I'm sure that you did very well with that career when you were in the Navy. And to leave that opportunity, it must have been mixed feelings.
There were. There really were. I wanted to stay in, and they said, no, we don't do transfers, because he's going back to the East Coast. The only reason you want to transfer, so we can pay your way. And I said, no, I want to stay in. And they said, well, you'll go back there and get out of the Navy anyway, so you might as well get out right now. And that's what happened. There was no arguing with them about it.
They were just pretty determined about how they felt, regardless of what your need. Well, it's always been the needs of the Navy, regardless of the needs of the sailor. It's just how it is.
I think it's quite different now, though, because you do see couples that are able to get transferred and be together. And the women are on shipboard now, and they weren't then. And used to be, if you were in the Navy, it was assumed that you probably were a nurse, because there wasn't any reason for being in the Navy otherwise.
Or corpsman.
Yeah,
but
right.
We had, in 1997, we incorporated women into the Navy Seabees. And they came in as builders, which were construction
Isn't that amazing?
People. They came in as mechanics, CMs, construction mechanics. They came in at all the different rates. Wasn't just YNs and PNs. YN is a yeoman that does paperwork also.
Right.
And yeoman is gone. They combined yeoman and PN, which is personnelman, together.
Right.
And so those rates are gone. So many of the rates during World War II, there were all these individual specialized jobs. When computers came in, a lot of those went away because the computer took care of a lot of those different issues. And even with the significant change in our radios, the RM, radio men, went away. And you have an IT, which is information specialist or technician. And those are the ones that do all the computers and the Internet and all this.
I can remember
secret,
when
non-secret.
There were sonar, radar, electronic technician, electrician. I mean, it just went on and on forever. And of course, we had to know all of those things because we were keeping the records up, and every time they got an advancement, they had to be put into their records, and just you had to learn it and do it.
And those were still the carbon copy days.
That's
everything
right.
was done in, double, triple, four, quadruple carbon paper copies where you had to almost like press down so hard it was ripping a hole in the page to get it to go from one to the next, because there were no copy machines, and they didn't use mimeographs for those. It was carbon paper. Carbon paper.
You bought that by the little box. I mean, you got them by the little box full.
Right.
And
people don't even know what carbon paper is nowadays. What's that? And so you go back to these time frames and you look at the initial technology of how things were created and how things were done compared to what there is today. It's no wonder that many of our young people today don't have a lot of skills, because there's so many things that are done for them. They've never learned
That's
basics.
Right. I agree.
The basics of anything, of office skills or even life skills. So the Navy was so important to you. Some of the life skills, what are some of those things that were indelible in your life?
Very definitely, because I became involved in school, the kids' school, where I was, homeroom mother, this and that, PTA, everything. We raised and showed dogs, and you got involved with the Kenton Club, and then we were in the Simian Society, because by then we had collected a bunch of monkeys, and it was just a crazy life for us. My husband went back to college as a zoology major and a botany minor, so our house was always a little bit crazy, and we ended up eventually at Reading Pet Shop here in Reading.
So when you say your house was full of monkeys, you mean your house was really full of monkeys?
Yeah.
Really, really monkeys.
Really, really, really. Yeah, from the little tiny pygmy marmosets up to some of the bigger macaques.
Well, I bet your kids really love that.
Well, yes and no.
Somebody had to take care of them.
Right? That's exactly right. And we had big cages in the backyard, and there was a special way to feed that they didn't have to go in the big cages. And then my oldest daughter said, I used to hate it when I started a new year at school and the teacher found out my last name was Yunt. Oh, you're the family with all the monkeys. Can we come for a class trip? She said, I hated that, because not so much that the kids were coming, but we had to really clean things up the day before.
Now your house is a show house. Now you've got to make sure everything's cleaned up. All the dishes, all the laundry, all the normal living spaces.
All right.
And then go ahead and make that like that. So,
it was a learning experience, and there was some catastrophe going on at all times, because along with the monkeys, we had all kinds of animals, and that's what brought us to the Reading Pet Shop eventually. We bought that in 1974. And then my husband died in 1978, but the kids and I stayed there until 1992.
Wow. Well, yes, because it's tough enough with a house full of kids, let alone a house full of kids and monkeys and all the other critters.
Yes, yes.
All the other critters that were there.
But you still have to keep on going.
Well,
so.
And that brings a new meaning to our house is a real zoo.
So, it really was.
Yes. That's actually fantastic, that story. Hey, we're coming up on a break. We're going to take a break. You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio show, Battlefield Expressions. I'm your host, Rob Burrows. Our guest, Polly Yont-Schmidt. We'll be right back.
Alan Gordon here, Coach Master Collision. Thankfully, it appears that Coach Master Repair is an essential business and fully prepared to repair any minor or major damage to your vehicle. With the invasion of the coronavirus, Coach Master is taking all precautions for the safety of our employees and our customers. We have closed all traffic through our lobby to ensure proper social distancing and will be disinfecting your vehicle upon arrival and before delivery. With the effects and response from the virus, we feel fortunate to be able to maintain all of our employees. They will be here to provide all services required for a proper and complete repair. These are uncharted territories. Let's all work together for a full, safe, and prosperous recovery. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
Don't distance yourself from your goals. At Shasta College, you can earn transfer-ready credits from the comfort of your couch or get job-ready for that high-demand career with convenient, cost-effective classes that work for you. Register now for fall classes. The semester starts August 17th, and now is the perfect time to take control of your future. Visit our website at shastacollege.edu or call 242-7500. Start your tomorrow today at Shasta College.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
Morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and that is Sentimental Journey, and another wonderful World War II song that we are playing here this morning for Polly, our Korean War veteran, Wave. And Polly, tell us a little bit more about some of those experiences from the bands and the dances and things like that that you were just sharing.
Oh, well, my first husband, Jim Yount, had his own dance band in high school, and so when he got back on base, or the first time he was in Florida, and he played in a band down there. Then when he was assigned aboard ship, he didn't have that chance. So when he came to Great Lakes, he got a bunch of the guys together, and they had a little band going again. So on Friday nights at the big hall there, he and the band played, and I was lucky enough to be able to dance with any guy I wanted to. Thank God he wasn't a jealous person, because it was fun. And then even after we left the Navy, he played. That was kind of our mad money. And I got to be the chauffeur driving bands around.
So that sounded like that was a pretty good experience there also.
That was fun.
Especially for that era, that time frame. It's like right in the groove, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's wonderful. Earlier we were talking about monkeys and all the kids and all the animals in your house during that time frame. And so let's transition to some of the things that you have done in the community, such as the Ladies for Optimist and different programs, like when you were working with the museum and helping there. You have just probably through your naval career, you have learned to work with people in the community, and you have been a vital part of many things that have taken place. And share some of those experiences with us.
Well, I've always been involved with the schools and homeroom mothers and PTA and everything that connected with the kids. With eight kids, it's a steady job. And then before I joined Sir Optimist in 1979 and stayed with them until 1993 when I moved away to Silver City, New Mexico with my second husband. And at that time, I was looking for a job, and I found one at a museum. And I was the, at one time, weekend manager, volunteer coordinator, and eventually manager and buyer for the museum gift store. And that's kind of what brought me out to the museum when you were south of the airport.
Right.
I got involved in helping out with your store and then was learning to be a docent and having a wonderful time.
And it was a great opportunity because it's coming up with the idea and actually putting the museum together. It's been a vertical learning curve for me to learn to do the curating and then to do everything, put everything together for the museum in a historical manner, in a pattern. Since that time, I've been to many schools for curation and for management for museums to help offset and for us to build a new facility. And so when you would come in, I mean, it was always really important. I mean, there were some other lady veterans that were there, and you worked with them also.
Mm-hmm.
But to be able to tell your story, how important that was.
Well, and then since then, with Sir Optimist, I am their historian, and I am putting together their archives. And so we have a space just for us down at the Shasta Historical Society. So I'm down there often working with Mona Brown and compiling the history of Sir Optimist. And Sir Optimism here in Reading. And Sir Optimist started here in Reading in 1946.
So right after World War II.
Yeah.
Many of our organizations, they came back and they began those community service
That's right. Because,
like that.
You know, they realized if we don't save our history now, we may lose it all.
And what happens when you lose your history? Those who fail to learn history are soon to repeat it. I mean, straightforward. We've seen that in our daily news every single day, where
right.
Nobody learned their lesson to begin with, and here they are repeating it, and loss of money, loss of life, loss of nations, countries, things all across our nation, our society, not just history, but also our founding documents and things along that line, what the nation was originally founded upon.
Yeah, and I think we've lost a lot of our work ethics, too.
Well, if you notice, when you have to work hard and you have to sweat and you bust your knuckles and you have calluses on your hands, you learn that work ethic. But nowadays, there are so many jobs that have nothing to do with having ethics to begin with. People working by themselves in cubicles on computers, people working with their phones, whatever else, they never learned social graces.
Mm-hmm.
They never learned how to work with people. And that's one of the biggest problems that we have right now with our groups and our communities across our nation, whether it's the AMVETS or the American Legion, the VFW, or any of these organizations. Our young people are coming back. They don't have the same social skills because of how we communicate. We don't communicate in groups anymore. We communicate on our phone. We communicate in front of a computer screen late at night. sending a letter to someone and being able to write that letter out. There's another loss of handwriting and things like that, cursive, because it's not required, therefore people don't do it.
It's like not remembering phone numbers. You don't have to anymore.
That's right. That's exactly right. And you lose your phone, you lose all your opportunity to be able to have any of that information. And so tell us about your opportunity with this for Optimus and how long you've been with them. And I've had the opportunity to go and speak to the ladies on multiple occasions through the museum as a guest speaker. Let us know some of the things that you've done here in the community and how important Sir Optimism is, because you're having a problem gathering young ladies for your program also.
Yes, we are. When I joined Sir Optimism, it was a classified organization. You had to be either a manager or an owner of a business. And those were pretty powerful women. They made some strong decisions they carried through. And then as the years went on, they changed those requirements. You did not have to, anybody could join. And we found that a lot of the younger women didn't want to give that amount of time or energy. And so it just didn't develop into the leaders that we needed. And now those, a lot of those older leaders are gone. I'm sure you remember Emily Reedy, Marge Kivley, Marjorie Lowerman. I mean, those were dynamite women.
Yes, they were.
And the younger women, very few, they have to answer to a boss. And then also when Rotary opened up their program for women, a lot of them went with that. So it's hard to get new members in that really want to take a hold and take a hold of a project and put it together and get her committee people to help with it and see it through, because nobody wants a bossy old lady telling them what to do. Yeah.
But when you were young and you went into the program, there were bossy old ladies telling you what to do. So what's the difference now?
It's just a whole different mindset. And it's not just women who are saying this is how it has to be done and this is how we have to do it. It's, no, why don't we do, no, we don't want to do it that way. Or, no, I don't have time. And so now the downtown club is developing a younger group, and we are working together quite often. In fact, we just finished, it's called a Live Your Dream Awards program, and we have young women, and this is nationally, because Sir Optimus is an international organization and recognized by the UN, and this is a national program, and it's helping women who are going back into the workforce or need to go back, and they have no background, they have no training, and some of them have really overcome some horrendous experiences, and so this is where we're putting most of our efforts now, is bringing these women back to have a life and to help their children and to develop a home and self-respect, enough money to live on. It's just, it's so rewarding.
Well, not only that, but when the ladies come together,
mm-hmm,
and they bring different experiences to the table, there's a honing experience that takes place. They learn to sharpen their skills as women. They learn to, from each other, what works and what doesn't work.
Oh, yes.
When they come together on a project and a team effort, they work. They learn how to work together. One of those things that made it so easy for you is you learned all that in boot camp. You learned all that as a very, very basics when you
right.
were 18 years old, of come together and work with many, many women outside your sources and experience, and to be able to make life happen in critical situations. And I think that's one of the reasons that you've been so successful, is because you're able to take those skills that you learned so young. What do you have aside from Sir Optimist, that you would recommend to young ladies and young women and family members to go? Do you encourage them to go back into the military and learn those skills?
I personally think that it's a good experience for both young men and young women to go into the service. I have a niece that was a Navy pilot, another niece that was a Navy nurse. So, I mean, and they've gone on now with their lives and very successful in what they're doing, and they have a good feeling of self-importance of knowing that they can accomplish something if they put their mind to it.
Especially going through Navy school for being a pilot. I mean, in dealing with all of the egos of the other men. And their,
Very much so.
Pilots have egos. I mean, I've been flying since I was 16 years old. I got my license when I was 17 and a half, 18 years old. So I went up, but I was always on the private side because my eyes were never good to fly for the military. But, I mean, I've flown jets, airplanes, helicopters, gliders. The only thing I've flown is a hot air balloon, but I've flown everything else.
Yeah, that's the one thing. That's on my bucket list. I want to go up in a hot air balloon. I've never had that chance. One reason or another, I'd have it planned and something would happen, and it didn't. And I didn't get to do it. Now, Jerry's stepson is retired now from the Navy, but he was a fighter pilot, and so, you know, it's still going round and round in the family.
Well, you never know how that bucket list might come to fruition. You never know. It may come to fruition yet. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
This ad is not from HUD or FHA and was not approved by HUD or any government agency. Consumers remain responsible for property taxes, homeowners insurance, and home maintenance. Premium is an equal housing lender. This is not a commitment to lend. Rich Pinnell, branch manager. NMLS number 1067640. PRMI NMLS 3094.
Let's talk about reverse mortgages for a moment. If you're 62 or older and have equity in your home, a reverse mortgage could be a tool for your retirement. For those cash-strapped retirees or those looking for an additional source of income, this is the answer. A reverse mortgage could eliminate your mortgage payment. Another benefit, extend the life of your existing retirement cash. A reverse mortgage isn't for everyone, but when you call Rich Pinnell of Primary Residential Mortgage, Rich can counsel you to see if this is a fit for you. If it fits, then life just got easier for you. You see, Rich Pinnell and Primary Residential Mortgage specialize in reverse mortgages. Rich's experience in this specialized field is why so many people have benefited from a reverse mortgage. Call Primary Residential Mortgage. They're happy to help. 530-722-4579 or go to richforreverses.com. That's rich, the number 4, reverses.com.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill. Featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
Hello, railroad. Is this a railroad? I want a one-way ticket down to Tennessee. I'm leaving immediately. Chattanooga, here I come. Pardon me, boy, is that the Chattanooga choo-choo? Right on track 29. Boy, you can give me a shine. I can't afford to board a Chattanooga choo-choo. I've got my fare and just a trifle to spare. You leave the Pennsylvania station about a quarter to four. Read a magazine and then you're in Baltimore. Dinner in the diner, nothing could be finer than to have your ham and eggs in Carolina.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We're in our last segment here, and our guest is Polly Yount-Schmidt, a United States Navy wave during the Korean War, and that was a primary song back during the 40s and the 50s. And people don't know or don't remember, you couldn't just get on an airline and fly. The train is what you took to go everywhere. You had to drive if you owned a vehicle during the war time frame. And even after the war, things were still critical before, even with the war effort going on, especially with the Korean War. There weren't supplies. There weren't opportunities to just go out and buy whatever you wanted to buy. Things were still spooling back up. It wasn't until the late 50s and early 60s when the nation had almost whatever you wanted to go to the counter and buy over the store counter. And so, good morning again, Polly. Tell us a little bit more about your naval service during that time frame.
Well, during that time frame, as I said, I was stationed at Great Lakes and did all the work that I was assigned to at the electronic school office and got to know all of the instructors, all the students, people from all over the world, and they even then were bringing in people from other countries to learn the sonar and the radar. So it was just a fascinating place to be. Yeah. Something going on all the time.
And I just want to say thank you while we have the opportunity right here. Thank you for your service to our nation. Thank you for serving the United States Navy to the country.
I'm right back at you.
You know, well, Warren, it's not about me this morning. It's about you. And so we want to make sure that you know how much we appreciate you and our community and how much we appreciate your service to our nation. You, along with the other ladies during that whole war era at the very beginning, are some of the ladies who set the examples for the initiatives for our women across our nation, for being independent, for learning, for stepping up into a man's world and to taking on responsibilities and learning them well and then bringing them back home into our community and doing your community service. And so I want to make sure that I thank you for that. We were talking about the Ladies Are Optimists program here in Reading, and I want you to if you will just tell us a little bit more about some of the great things that you've accomplished with this Are Optimists program here in Reading, California, and then also if you will share with us how other ladies that might be interested might be able to get a hold of the program and be invited into that.
Well, the biggest thing that we did, and this was just prior to my joining, but it continued on through until after I had come into the Sir Optimus group, was the Senior Citizens Hall. I have some wonderful pictures in our archives of the women out there begging, borrowing, doing anything they could to get volunteers, like you're going through with the museum, to get the land, to get the people to build it, and it got built.
Now, this is the senior center that's on Benton Drive, right?
That's correct.
Caldwell Park.
Yeah, that was built. If you look at on the left-hand side as you go in the door, there's a nice little story of how that happened.
Many people in our community, there's many things in our community where individual organizations came together and raised the money to put these things in our community.
Right.
And people nowadays just think that they were always
there.
Mm-hmm. The county paid for it. The city paid for it. They don't know that individuals and organizations such as yourself came together to raise and put these things together. And many people don't know how to think outside the box any longer to be able to step forward and make things like that happen. But this for optimists, the ladies from there are such an important part of that.
Well, another big project that was the beginning of the Secret Witness Program. Esther George was our catalyst, and she headed that up for many years, and that's still going on. And we're still on the board, involved with it, helping them out with their fundraisers, whatever we can do to see that this continues.
So if you're a young lady out there or a woman, a career woman, or I've been a career woman, a woman that is raising her family, but you'd like to do a little something extra, share how they could be involved with the Sir Optimus program, how they could contact, and how some of the meetings are, and what you're still doing here in our community to make a difference.
Right. Well, we do have a website, and it's www.siroptimus.com. Sir Optimus, SNR, Sir Optimus. No, it's
well, I'm sure we'll be able to find it.
Yeah, it's under, there's, we, because we're international and then national and then our Sierra Nevada region, and then we're Sir Optimus International or Reading. It's SIR.
SIR.
Yeah. And we're on Facebook. And then we do have a phone that they can call in to, and I don't have the number with me, or they can call me because I'm this year's acting president.
Okay, so explain some of your meetings and what you can talk about in your meetings so that the ladies will know. Because we want to encourage them to be part of your program.
We have certain programs that we work through all year and with the with our national group, and it's putting women back into the workforce, women that have had bad experiences or possibly been widowed or whatever and have to step up to the plate and become head of household. A lot of them have overcome some horrendous experiences in their lives. One that we have already honored this year, after a three-generation cycle of drugs, broke away and made a whole new life for herself and her children and is going back to school. We will be helping her with her school funds. We do this every year. It's called Live Your Dream. The next project will be Dream It Be It, where we go into one of the schools and along with the Seroptimist of downtown Reading and mentor young women who need that little boost up to know that they can accomplish things if they just try. So that's our biggest thing, is getting women and young girls to the point where they can be self-sufficient, earn their own living, take care of their families. Not that we're trying to put the boys down, because we want them to do a good job too, because we don't want to waste good girls on bad boys.
Well, and I don't think anybody's thinking that. And I think that a lot of ladies or women in our community don't know that Seroptimist has these opportunities in our community. If you're looking for information, it's Seroptimist. It's Seroptimist, International, Downtown Reading.com.
And no, that's Downtown Reading.
Oh, you're the other?
We're the other group.
Okay.
Seroptimist International of Reading.
Of Reading. Okay, mm-hmm. This one's downtown. So there's two organizations.
But we do work together.
So you have the one that is downtown and one that is mm-hmm. of Reading, which is in Reading General.
Right.
But either way, both groups of ladies work to accomplish these tasks in the community. They have different projects that they're working on. And it's when you brought me in and had the opportunity to speak through the museum and the projects that we're doing in the community, I think it's just so critical for our volunteer organizations that we have. I know that they have the Reading 2030 Club also, which is for some
right.
of the younger
yes.
business ladies. That's kind of stepped in and taken some different directions, so probably some ladies away from your program.
Oh, yes.
But
oh,
there
yes.
is plenty of room for organizational
really
help
is.
In the community. And many times there's many things that are solved by these organizations in our community, especially social issues, that nobody knows about it. It should not be left up to the city of Reading to make these decisions or to Shasta County to make these decisions. These decisions should come back to well-qualified, well-intentioned individuals, women and ladies in our community that want to see a change, that want to see a solid difference in the community and be able to go out and make that happen. And I think by reinforcing that, it makes us available to have a better community, a stronger business core. People who do not come together to work this don't know how much they're missing. Because when you come together with other individuals and you work together as a team and you have a goal and you strike out and you reach that goal and you make that happen, there's just an enormous amount of satisfaction in that.
One of our biggest projects over the years has been the Breast Cancer Awareness Project. And we paid for mammograms when insurance didn't. Well, now insurance does pick up that bill, so we have advanced, if they have to go in for more advanced testing and so on, now we're picking up that bill. And so it's called the Breast Cancer Awareness Luncheon, and that's a big fundraiser, and it's just something we've done for I don't know how many years now, but...
Well, thank you for all of the volunteer service that you do. I don't think there's enough advertising or marketing about what the Seroptimists do in our community. Might be something to work on down the road so more people are aware of the great things that you do in our community. And we're coming down to our last minute here, Polly. Once again, I just want to say thank you to you for being a woman leader in our community. And I know a lot of that goes back to your naval service and where you learned all those important skills as a leader, as a young woman. and then bringing that back. Thank you for being involved in my life and for helping me and encouraging me with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and for being able to move forward. It's not just the men who set the example. The women leaders in our community set the example also, and they bring another whole realm of leadership to the community. And so thank you, Polly, for your service. Thank you for what you do in our community still. You're still going strong, and it's just a great opportunity for us to be able to have you here this morning and share your story with those that are listening.
Rob, thank you for inviting me.
You're very welcome. Yep. And we have an event coming up, and I'm going to make sure that you're at our event if you could be there. For the Veterans Museum, I want you to be my guest.